B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. After a much-needed win. Much-needed win. It was a good sports night last night. And listen, you take them when you can get them, right? And last night was one of those really good sports nights that we haven't had so far in 2020. First couple weeks of 2020 were kind of difficult. And then last night, we had a triad of really good Philadelphia stuff, right? The Sixers are able to execute down the stretch, beat Brooklyn, and at least just win. They needed to win. And as that, you know, the game was going along, like, I don't know about you guys, but I was like in white knuckle mode. I'm at the point where a game against the Brooklyn Nets, I just needed to win. Needed to win. Just win this game. Just feel better. Just feel good about yourselves. Let's try to get on a streak a little bit here. So you had that, and we'll dive into the Sixers because we need to look at this thing from a global standpoint for a second, because they just are an amazing story. And I want to kind of dive into it a little bit with you guys and see where your take is on a multitude of subjects involving the 10-9-8, clap your hands. But then a big win by the Flyers. So they're up 3-1. St. Louis comes back, ties the game. Oh, man, no. They go to overtime, and Voracek, what a move. He hesitates, drags it, and then deposits the puck in the back of the net by Binnington. And it was beautiful. You know what's funny? That sport is a beautiful, it's just a beautiful sport. As I was watching the game, I'm going, you know, it's such a pretty sport sometimes. As rugged and physical as can be, when you have overtime and then like open ice, it's beautiful. And just, I mean, that display with Voracek, it was a great, just incredible move. And so Flyers win, and then Temple, which is playing a really good team against Wichita State, the Shockers, they're down in a half, and they play a great second half, and they're able to come back and really dominate the second half against a really good Wichita State team and Aaron McKee's Temple squad with the victory. So I was like I was all with devices last night. Right, once I got the kid situated, it was, you know, we're on Sixers. And then, you know, Flyers start 8:30. It was a good stagger. So then you had Flyers, device. Then Sixers over, I go Flyers, TV, Temple, device. And it was one of those, like, really good sports nights. And the fact that all three won, it was necessary. I think it was necessary for our psyche. This is a difficult time of the year to begin with. And we're going to look at the championship games this coming weekend. There's no Eagles. And, you know, normally the winter months, as you know, we're expecting some nasty weather come in on Saturday. That this is a real difficult, depressing type of time. And with the Sixers, they needed to win the last. Like, just chased victory after the road woes. Good morning, Tunis.
What's going on, Ant? Very good night yesterday.
It's a good win, man.
Had to play it.
Yeah, it was a good win.
Awesome night. Sixers, that fourth quarter, 30. I think they outscored them 31-16
in
the fourth quarter. So a great stretch by the Sixers. Tobias Harris stepped up yesterday.
Big time, yeah.
And that was a call that we were looking for, right? We were looking for Tobias Harris to take over a game. We thought he wasn't shooting enough. And he admitted it. He talked about during postgame that, you know, I need to take some shots when I'm open. And he did.
Yeah, we talked about him being selfish, more selfish.
Right.
Which, you know, they are a group of really like good guys and stuff, and they gotta work on their being selfish.
Yeah, and Tobias Harris was selfish yesterday in a good way, and he played well.
See, you need this team. Somebody on this team, especially without Joe, without Joel, you gotta come. Somebody's gotta come in and go. You know, and Jay Rich is really played some great ball.
Yes.
But you need either Ben or Tobias to do it.
Right, especially, like, I was looking at it, and I said, you know what, averaging 19 points per game, that's nice, but that's not max player. That's not max player number. I need a higher average scoring total from Tobias Harris, especially when Joel Embiid is out. And last night, he stepped up, scored 34. So a good night for Tobias, a good night for the Flyers yesterday. You know, it sucks that Carter Hart's going to be missing 2 to 3 weeks, but Brian Elliott stepped up. I know he gave up the 2 goals in the third period, but in the end, Flyers win that game, and then you got the Temple game at night. Good night yesterday for Philadelphia. Like, we should be happy.
Yeah, it was. It really was. The Flyers are a fun, you said it. We were talking about this before the show. They're a fun team.
Yes.
They really are. They're a fun team. They're young, and, you know, they're not ready yet to make any kind of prolonged run. But, man, they're fun to watch. They're a good watch. Like, you do get, like, you feel, I enjoy them.
Yeah, I've been drawn in.
Like, I enjoy watching. Like, they're fun. Like, and I look forward to it. It was purposefully last night. And I like when they're playing, like, the Wednesday night, the rivalry night, you know, the NBC Sports. I like that. Purposely, I go, oh, this is great, because you had Sixers at 7, they had the Flyers at 8:30, and you had Temple late start 9, and it looked like, you know, oh, this is a real good sports night, and it really was. What I want to get into today is the Sixers in totality are one of the most fascinating teams that have come around in a long time. They're just so, I find it's funny. Because I was going back and forth with Mike, and he's like, they lack pizzazz. And listen, like, on the floor at times, particularly without Embiid, they're a little bit of a struggle. I understand where he's coming from. But the whole thing is so, like, you can't take your eyes off of it. Like, if you step back and you look at them, they're completely fascinating. I mean, from every standpoint, because of where they stand, because of, like, this is the, you know, the third year in making the playoffs. So this is the jump year, right? This is the year where you got to get to the finals. Like, I think you got to get to the finals. The way you're built, the way you're set up, but the struggles that they've incurred. Without Embiid, you figure, you know, it should be easier for Horford. But Al he's still kind of lost. He still seems to be swimming last night. And then you go, all right, well, what kind of style are you playing? You know, then you go back to Brett's system, right? Like the system, the threes. The reliant, like, should they be playing? Should Brett even tweak his system even more to go more bully ball? Who do you add off the bench? Because right now the bench is just not giving you enough. You need to add pieces off the bench. Hey, you need a real scoring piece, shooting piece, whatever how you want to view it. But what's the appropriate system? What moves do you do, like, when you're tinkering with this thing? You know, then you have the whole Joel has the Players Tribune piece come out, right? You still have the Ben issue of, you know, taking control of the game. Like, you played a real good game last night, another real good floor game and all. But, you know, it comes down to what people want to see. And I understand, I'm going to say this a million times, because we always go back and forth. But I understand what people want from Simmons is just, like, take control of the game. Well, take control of the game. So you still have that push and pull. There is so many, like, this team, I'm fascinated by this team on so many levels. You know, what they mean to the city and the excitement, because if they can get this thing right, the spring will be a blast. So I want to dive into all the dynamics of it from the two stars and the supporting players. Like, you brought up Tobias and Max. Like, honestly, just about all starters in the NBA are Max players. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, kind of is what it is.
Yeah, but when you think of Max, like, I think of, like, 25, right, but it's 27
it's still
game.
More, you know, what he just has to do is he's got to give you what you need.
Yes.
Right? And you need points. He's the scorer. So I want to dive in to what they all need to do. How do you tweak it? What are you looking for? There's so many question marks, but there's so many like tentacles of conversation that surround them. You know, we still are debating, you know, the success of the process. And last night, late night in Los Angeles, Markelle Fultz gives you a triple double. It was unbelievable. Markelle Fultz. I mean, just to add more to the giant, you know, pot of stew.
Markelle Fultz.
I mean, it's unbelievable, right? 610-632-0975 is how you join us. 610-632-0975. And the other little side thing is, I want you to choose today. Like, I want you to go in or out. And I want you to be, and we'll figure out, like, we're always in. So it's more figurative than literal. But in or out with the Sixers, the Flyers, and the Phillies, the quiet Phillies. I'm just curious about in or out, because we're great at saying, I'm out. Well, today you got to choose. And basically what it's going to come down to is front of the bus, back of the bus. On the figurative bandwagon. He's the Tunis, I'm Cuz. And let's talk a little bit, let's talk beer. I love beer. But I'm also trying to cut. So if you're looking to stay in shape and there's no way you can give up beer because you're weak like me, you don't have to choose, because Corona, it tastes great. And unlike those other light beers, it's like really, really good. It's light and it's tasty. It tastes like beer. You're watching your carbs and calories. Corona Light has only 99 calories and 5 grams of carbs. Corona Premier, 90 calories with 2.5 grams of carbs. Don't give up on beer, especially when you're watching the game. Corona is a proud sponsor of the Sixers. So whether you're watching the game at the Wells Fargo Center, at home, or at one of our Sixers pregame broadcasts, choose Corona this Saturday night. You join Devon Givens at McGurk's in Horsham for the Sixers pregame broadcast starting at 5 p.m. Fnatic will be giving away great prizes, including Sixers tickets, a chance to win a trip to San Francisco to see the Sixers play the Warriors in March. Enjoy amazing food, $4 Corona, Corona Premier bottles, and $4 Corona Light drafts. For details, go to 975thefanatic.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. How do we attack, right? Like, how do we look at it right now, halfway point of the NBA season? And we know the issues that face us, right? Like, this is a, you know, this is, we waited years for this opportunity. And you know what's funny? Because I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he was talking about how fragile, he's involved in sports, and he was talking about just how fragile everything is, right? Like, when it comes to building a team in any sport, there's a fragility that's there, right? Like, you know, as good as they can look, and we all want to look at things optimistically. And then, you know, again, when we get a so-so result sometimes, you know, we start to react emotionally. So if you take emotion out of this thing and really try to look at it from a basketball standpoint, look at it from a personnel standpoint, where do we fit? And then when you come to a conclusion, you go back to the emotional piece, in or out, right? Now, you're always going to be in. We're 4-for-4 till the day we die. But, you know, there's degrees of being in. Like, when you say you're out, I understand you're not really out. But you're not, you're on the periphery for the moment. Right. Like, okay, guy is a 4-for-4 guy. He's never out, but he's going to grouse and say he's out, and that might mean, you know, he might take a break. That's kind of where out is. When I say you're in, it's defined as I still have great belief that they can figure this thing out, great belief that they can, you know, once all the components are there, that they still are a power in the East. And if you say you're out, it means you really have zero faith. And you don't believe it. And that's all fair. Like, you don't believe that this team can achieve. And I think, listen, for me, they're going to get to the finals. Like, you got to get to the finals. Eastern Conference Finals, they play some epic series against Milwaukee. You know, whatever. It's all about optics, right? If there's a quadruple bounce in Game 7, you know, you understand certain things. But that's kind of where it should be. That's where it needs to go. It needs to reach. That's the threshold in my eyes. What's your threshold?
I want to see them at least reach the Eastern Conference Finals and play very well.
Right, well, same thing I just said.
So, like, if
it's got, you lose, it's got to be like an epic.
Yeah, game seven.
Right.
Game seven, you lose.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, if it's another second round elimination, we got a problem. And people will end up losing jobs. And you're going to have to figure out what the best part is moving forward with this team. And none of us want to see it. Like, the people that are fire Brett Brown every single night, like, we don't want to see him lose his job, but if they get bounced in the second round of the playoffs, okay, you're probably going to have to do that. You're going to have to make a change. You have to move on. But if they can get deep into the Eastern Conference Finals, a game six, game seven, I'll be happy. Unless it's an atrocious disaster in those last two games. Like, if they're up 3-1 and they blow the series, then we got to have that conversation still.
Right.
But game seven, like you said, quadruple doink or NBA Finals. That's what I need to see.
Yep.
Can't get swept by the Bucks.
I mean, that's the threshold. No, that would not be good enough. No, that would not suffice. Especially since, you know, the way you were built, at least defensively. You know, one of the real issues is, does Brett need to tweak his system even more? Right? Like, we see these threes. And, look, I know that the NBA is a league in which you got to score, right? And, you know, you shoot threes. I mean, it's a huge part of the game today. But the way they're built, they don't have great shooters. Like, this is not a mystery. So how I always viewed it was, you were going to play more post-up bully ball. Like, the term bully ball, it's great in theory, but I don't see it. I think the system needs to be turned over a little bit more to actual bully ball. To actually get in the paint and use your post-ups and mid-range and attack, 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 tap the rim, run outs. You know, all that needs to happen because they just have too many empty possessions. Like when you're, you know, over the trip, when you're shooting 6, 7, 8 for 33 from threes, like the threes don't matter. Like I'd rather you take half the number of threes, replace those with twos, and make half of those twos.
Right. It seemed like yesterday, except for the start of the third quarter when Korkmaz had his little run, it seemed like they were attacking a little more. But the first quarter, remember the Nets only had, what, one foul?
Yes.
One team foul. That's problematic. So it looked like they made an adjustment at halftime, again, except for the Korkmaz three-pointers that he hit. But the first half goes back to what you were just saying. There was no bully ball whatsoever in that first half of that game, especially
listen,
the first quarter.
One of the things that's tough is their bench. Look, Elton's going to make a move. He's going to add somebody to the bench. They just need more, you know, production. You don't have enough. Like, Korkmaz got hot, but Korkmaz, again, I mean, that's against Brooklyn. I mean, he really is a limited player.
We got hot and then cooled off. And and down the stretch, I mean, there's like four straight possessions where he was just...
The flurry of Korkmaz, like, you know, I get it. Like, you know, a flurry here and there, but he can't play prolonged minutes because of what it gives up on the other end. And it's all he does. So he's limited there. Mike Scott's got to play, but like Mike's got to hit more threes. Like when he has an open shot, he's going to shoot it. And then, you know, they got to play better. The guys off the bench got to play better defense. Matisse still has some issues with Faggett and foul trouble. But that's where it's all at. Let's get it on the phones. Ramon and Mount Airy. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ramon.
Yo, what's going on, cuz? How you, man?
Hey, Ramon. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well, brother. You and Cunis, you're on point with everything, man. I've never been out, you know, from when we talked in the summer. I still got tickets reserved for the finals. What we played last night, I think one of the things we got to tweak on where we at now, we got to have offensive identity. That bully ball, you got it. Now's the time to implement it. Cut down, like you mentioned, cut down on threes because we're not shooters. That's one. And then adding bench depth because now we need to find out what our rotation is and who works with who in certain situations of the game. Brett's got to get that out now. And I trust Elton in that. He's going to get, he knows what we need. And like you said, we're not great shooters. So you got to get something from your bench, man, to help that. So when the league does get to 10, 15, you resting guys, when they come back in the 6-7 minute mark, we're in to close it out, not lose it, or trying to regain it, you know, however it may be. But we got to get that bench help. And
yeah, you know what's funny? You bring up something really interesting, Ramon, and it reminds me of what Charlie Manuel used to say. And Charlie used to say, know thyself. And it was like, know who you are, like know what you are, you know, and be who you are.
And be who you are. And that's where, with the bully, we saw half of their identity with the defense last night, how they locked down, how they locked in. And the rotations all night against this team penetrating was good. And breaking it down, I'm telling you, man, and it's your boy. Legs is the man. Legs. His analysis and breakdown of the game, and even when he did broke down with Ben, it's Legs. If Legs could be an assistant coach here, man, I would love it. I would love it.
Well, he's going to be Legs on. He's going to be on today at some point.
Okay, great. Because he broke down Ben in the vision. Ben's going to be frustrated, and he says what I said and what we say, and just forget about it. Look at what he does, because he's going to catch the brunt of it, rightfully so. Because we're Philly, we're pessimistic at times, but I like to look at, put aside that the emotion and just be objective of our game. And when I talk about my team, I know my team, and I want my team to understand that you need to know yourself, know thyself, and you'll be great.
I like
that's
your
all
Ramon.
I'm looking for.
That's good
Take
stuff,
care,
man.
Cause.
Thanks, brother. You too. Man, we're waiting. I'm waiting to find out what time Legs, but at some point, either during the show today or Cousins Corner, I'm just waiting for him to figure out a schedule, and he'll be on to break things down. You know, here's the thing about Ben. Again, he's still, and I agree with those people when they talk about, you know, taking over. What I really want is less about other things and all, but more taking over the game when you have to, when you realize that you can take over the game. And, you know, he needs to play. Like, see, right now during this time without Embiid, he needs to be on the floor 42 minutes a night. That's bottom line. First of all, he's a freak, right? He's incredible where he doesn't get tired. I never see him pant. At his size, he's 6'10 and fluid and can run all day long. And, he's sturdy. I need him to play. Like, I need him playing 44 minutes a night. Like, I need you right now. And I need you active for those 44 minutes. You know, you look at a James Harden, right? And, you know, I'm not talking about their games, but I'm just talking about, I mean, all Harden does, he's tireless. I mean, he's out there all night, 44 minutes. There's no load management for James Harden. And there shouldn't be any for Ben. I get it. For guys, certain bigs that are built like Joel, you got to be careful. But a guy like Ben can do it all day long, every night. There's no need to worry about his minutes.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. That's why I think people don't understand just how great Ben is because of what he can still add. And that is playing every single night, close to 40 minutes a night, and doing everything they do, sometimes at the one, sometimes at the four, sometimes guarding the opposing team's five.
Yeah, no, his defense has become elite. But in fairness to his critics, he needs to take over. He needs to take over at time. Like, you know, again.
Yeah, offensively,
people aren't wrong. Like, when they need him in this sense, he's got to deliver.
Well, it's like the other night against the Pacers. He had 20 points at halftime.
Right. When people talk about that, they're right.
Yeah, because then he finished with 20 points. And you go,
right,
you
know, again. I love him. But we can all recognize what he needs to do more of. Look, he's become an incredible, an elite, elite defensive player. But you know what? Your talent dictates that you got to give more.
I just think people are short-sighted who are like I'm out on Ben Simmons because it's just the jump shot.
Okay, so this leads us to part of the conversation. They're not out on him. They don't understand it. It is the most betwixing, what's the word? It's the most confusing story ever. You have a guy who's a son of a professional basketball player who doesn't shoot the ball. Who doesn't shoot? Like, you know, people still can't comprehend that. Because everybody knows, right? The first thing you do, when you pick up a ball, you shoot them up, right? Yeah. Is that one of the things, like, when you're by yourself, how many times, because I can tell you hours and hours and hours where, you know, you would shoot from the floor, different spots on the court, and...
And most of the time it's behind the three-point line.
Or whatever, right. But still, like, you did it yourself. You know, you went, you shot. That was the first thing you did. And people go, I don't understand why you don't do that. You know, forget about, you know, it goes to wiring. It goes to deep-rooted psychological stuff. Because, like, how do you explain it? How do you explain it?
You can't. You really can't.
And that's where I understand people's frustrations.
Well, and I agree
because
with them.
Because they're so, it doesn't make sense.
But it's just, to me, it's short-sighted because then they discount everything else that he
right,
can
but
do.
That's spoken out of emotion, out of not understanding, like going, I don't have an answer to why. Like, I don't know. People go, well, how come it doesn't shoot? I go, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I have no answer for you.
Like, I don't know. It's confusing. It's befuddling. It's a mystery. Like, I don't know if he could actually himself tell you in a tangible manner. It's not just the, I don't want to look cool. I don't, it's not that. I don't know what it is. It's something that's deep rooted. All right. We're going to dive right through all of our calls straight ahead. Cuz Radio, the Chunis, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's time to check the poll of the day. Where are you going? The In-N-Out poll?
Oh, yeah.
In-N-Out poll.
But it's worded in a specific way. It's on at 975 middays, and it says, when it comes to the Sixers, we hear the words, I'm out, quite often. When it comes to this season's, and that's all caps, this season's Sixers bandwagon, are you in or out? 72% in, 28% out. So over a quarter of the fan base is, quote, out on this season's bandwagon.
Wow, really?
Really.
Hmm. What does that mean?
All right. As Ben Simmons once said, stay on that side.
Okay, so out. Wow. 28%?
And somebody responds saying, listen, I'm going to watch, but I don't feel like they're going to make this big playoff run.
Listen, and again, that's fair. That's all part of it. I prefaced the poll by saying everybody's always in.
Right.
We're 4 for 4 till the day we die. We grouse, we get upset, we say we're out, blah, 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 blah. We understand what we mean by that. There is a context there. So, yeah, but when I say you're out, so that means 28% of the people do not have faith that they can make a prolonged run.
Yeah, they're off the bandwagon.
All right. Well, you know.
And you know what?
Here's the deal. The only recourse, and again, because we know everybody's in, and I don't want Pollyanna in, you got to really believe it. Is it's the front of the bus, back of the bus, right?
And what's even more interesting,
front of the curb, back toward the wall.
Imagine if this is the day after they lost. This is the day after they won, and it's over a quarter of the fan base is, quote, out. If it's the day after they lost, people get reactionary and they get emotional, as you bring up. That number would be even higher. So these are real numbers to me, because they won last night and they're still over a quarter of the fan base.
No, they're definitely real numbers, yeah. Definitely real. I completely agree with you. Poll of the day brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating, Air Conditioning, Duct Cleaning. Who can keep your wife warm this winter? Cans can, with emergency HVAC repair service available 7 days a week. And special financing on a new Trane heating and cooling system. If you need one, visit MarvinEcans.com today. I'm completely enamored by the whole thing. I was talking to a buddy, my mentor, Gary Smith, who is from Sports Illustrated, formerly Sports Illustrated, amazing writer. And used to work in town. He's from Delaware, and he lives in South Carolina now. And Gary, he's going to join us later on. And I was talking to him yesterday, and he said he has not missed a second of the season. Like, he's watched every game, basically. He's watched every game from South Carolina. Like, he's in it on our, and we had this whole conversation, which was, you know, really, you know, deep and all, about the But just the idea of like how interesting they are. He's like, I can't get enough of it. And, you know, it's funny because Mike sends me a text last night. He goes, they don't have any pizzazz. And I mean, listen, game 42 of an NBA season against Brooklyn, you know, I mean, I understand it's not probably going to be filled with pizzazz. There's no Embiid on the floor, and he provides
he has pizzazz.
A lot of pizzazz.
Now, beginning of the season, Embiid didn't have pizzazz because, remember, he wanted to mature after the fight with Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah. So he was lacking pizzazz for a little bit, but he's bringing it back. I mean, now that he's hurt, but he had some pizzazz.
But just him on the floor alone provides pizzazz, right? He provides the pizzazz. Do you like the pizzazz pie? You know what a pizzazz is? A pizzazz pizza?
No.
You don't know what the pizzazz is?
No.
The pizzazz is a white pie with American cheese, like a blend.
Yeah.
A blend. Whole tomatoes, not a sauce, but like tomatoes. And hot peppers. It's a Celebreeze pizzazz. You never had the pizzazz pie?
You eat that cold because of the tomato?
No, you eat it hot.
I see, I like it cold. And not because it's me. I like a nice cold tomato.
Yeah, but it's not a tomato pie. There's still a blend of cheese. They use cheese, so that's why. I mean, you could eat it cold. I mean, you know. But you're weird. You eat it cold.
I had a slice of cold pizza yesterday.
Did you? Yeah. I like it hot. It's like normal people. It's comforting when it's hot, right? Out of the oven.
Listen, there's people that are coming on my side with this.
What, the cold eaters?
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll get a tweet. Yo, dude, I start eating my food cold because of you.
You know who you are? You're a seal.
I'm a seal?
Seals eat their food cold.
I would think so. You know, they don't have ovens down the ocean.
That's the point.
So from the ocean?
You're a seal. It means that you have not evolved past a seal.
That's fine. I wouldn't mind like getting out of your water just like
you
in the sun.
You can clap your hands and you can lay in the sun, but you still are, and you're still a seal.
Listen, if I can clap my hands.
Yes! That's right.
That's all that matters.
Let it play because I haven't heard it in a while. It makes me feel good. It's my feel-good song.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.